Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Flock, Sock, and Barrel. My name is Jason Spies. I am broadcasting live here at Frisky's in Odessa, Texas. Being joined with special guest host Ashley Smith with Truckers Against Trafficking. How are you doing there?
I am great. Thank you for having me here.
Well, did you have a good 5-minute break?
I did.
Okay, good.
I had some french fries. Life's good.
Are you ready for our next guest?
I am.
Our next guest is running for the Texas Senate out of District 31.
Correct.
District
Very good.
District 31. Look at me. I retained it and everything. Well, during these election seasons, I get so impressed when I can remember the different districts and everything, and then the measures. I can't even imagine what the voters go through, let alone everybody else. And we'll talk about that in a minute too. And we do appreciate you coming on here, because really that's part of the issue, is accessibility and just creating an awareness about some of the issues, because it just seems like so many people are in a trigger world, and so much cancel and woke and all kinds of different things. So Ashley, thank you for joining us to bring kind of a social side to this with Truckers Against Trafficking. So first of all, you've got Mr. Kevin Sparks here. Kevin, how are you doing, by the way?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, by the way. We were talking for the last hour before we got on this podcast, so we forget that the audience wasn't with us.
Right.
So, Ashley, I wanted to just ask you, you know, you've got Kevin Sparks here, who's not only... I don't know your role with the oil company.
So I'm president of Discover Operating Inc.
Okay.
We're an oil and gas drilling and production company.
Okay, so I knew you had an energy background, and I wanted you here for that reason, because he does have an energy background. So the sex trafficking is something that he is aware of, and he has some thoughts on. But also, he's running, and this is exactly who you need to talk to. So this is an example of you, a nonprofit, getting some time with someone who's going to be, well, I believe he's going to be out in Austin. I don't want to get the cart ahead of the horse here, but that's kind of what the idea is behind this. So I appreciate you coming on to talk a little bit about, we can talk a little bit about your platform, but also some of the social things that are happening here.
Sure.
Down in the Permian Basin, because let's be honest, that's really why people are here. Live and working with their families, and they want a safe community. They want to let their kids go to school. Remember the old days? We used to walk home from school, and that was okay.
We did. I was just visiting with the sheriff of Ector County a couple of days ago, and we were kind of recounting our childhoods in both Midland and Odessa. And you know, we rode our bikes everywhere. I mean, we were getting miles and miles from our home, and you know, our only boundary was how long did it take us to ride back and make sure we were home by dinner time.
And that was really the kind of the thing, is that you had to call, because back then they had phones with rotary dials on them, you know, that were stuck to the wall. That's right, kids, your charger didn't leave. You had to stick your charger against the wall. But you had to basically, you left in the morning, maybe you had an apple and a sandwich packed, and you went out. And if you didn't make it home by dinner time, you had waiting for you. But at the same time, if you called, you're having dinner over at John's house or something like that. I don't know if you ever got the ability to grow up in that world.
You know, I'm originally from Houston, so born and raised in Houston, and we had a little bit of that. So not fully in that space, but I remember summer times, my brother and I would stay home, and then for some reason I remember we would watch Wheel of Fortune, Unsolved Mysteries, and then we would go a mile to the community pool and spend like 4 or 5 hours there until mom got off of work. So we had a little bit of that, but it was also... we couldn't do it alone. We had to have a sibling with us. We had to have that understanding. So it's kind of at that cusp of the world changing, before internet, before all of that stuff. So it's just a different world these days.
Well, when I was a kid, we were joking one day that the bikes, you know, and you go and you create, you explore, you know,
right.
You're Lewis and Clark. We would, because of Fargo, we're a border state, right? And we have a river between us. We would go on the train tracks over the river as kids. Now the National Guard would be there in a second. And so we thought about that. We're like, that might be the last generation of kids that really had that type of, and I'm not talking about metal playground equipment, but that was a time when that was there. So the world has changed, and that's where we're at. The world has changed. And Kevin Sparks, I'm glad that you could join us, because what you represent is bringing change to the government, really. And I find it funny that we almost have to send people into the government to receive less government nowadays. That's interesting to me.
Yeah, well, yeah, government, you know, government by its very nature, its inclination is to grow. And so the only way to stop that or impede that growth is to have people in the government and their intent is to try and give that power back to the people.
So let's talk a little bit about, you know, the trafficking. Personally, the homelessness is what I was first championed as like a child and continued along with my career. And so this has been an ongoing passion of mine, socks and creating some awareness and that sort of thing. The trafficking is, Ashley introduced it to me in, it was in May of 2000, of last year, at the Williston Basin Petroleum Conference up in the Bakken. And I didn't realize the issues on the Fort Berthold Reservation and some of the Native American communities up there, which are preyed upon, really, at the end of the day, because of the lack of resources and et cetera. Talk to me a little bit about the trafficking, and then you've got some other passions as well. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk a little bit about. You know, the homelessness, which we all know has been going on for a long time. I go back and forth with the mental health part of homelessness. A lot of veterans, and I have a hard time calling that mental health when you've gone to war and you have a hard time readjusting, because your world is completely different than someone else's, and you live that world, and so to call that mental health, that's a slippery slope too. So I just wanted to make sure I clarify that, because I do have a lot of passion for homeless people, and of course we have the whole medical prescription issue with a lot of the homelessness too. So Kevin and Ashley, we'll give you a second, a moment. Let's talk about some of your passions. You're a guest here. Talk about some of the passions that you've got, because I know you guys are involved in some ministries and et cetera.
We are, yeah. So on the social side, you know, one of the things that Texas really has had the spotlight shined on it is the foster care system. And our foster care system really is completely overwhelmed. And, you know, I'm a big proponent of community, and I think communities really are first line responsible for the people in their community. It's one of the things I love about West Texas and the Panhandle is you still see those communities stepping up, just like we're taking donations for socks for homeless people tonight at this event. You know, people still, companies still give back to those communities. Foster care is one of those situations that I believe a community-based foster care system, where it's the individuals, it's the churches in those communities that are providing shelter for those kids that unfortunately have wound up in difficult situations at home.
And that's something that's so important, is finding ways in your local community that you can make an impact. So here, there's some people that they can donate socks, and that's going to have a positive effect. Some families can open up their home as foster parents, or even churches that can train people on the realities of that. I think that that is such an important way to think about. Everybody has a role to play in those communities, so I love that that's something that you're talking about and really shining a light on.
Earlier, the news was here, and it was a great correlation between foster children, and really, if they're not taken care of, what ends up happening to them is they might end up in some sex trafficking, or they might end up homeless. So what we're talking about here is a lot of root causes, you know, trying to figure out how to solve some problems at the root, you know, whether it be foster families, getting to a good family. Where there's, you ever see the movie Forrest Gump?
Yes.
You ever say, okay, I've always said, and I say this to my son all the time, the reason I work is to make sure that you have a Forrest Gump pad. And he looks at me and I say, Jenny went out into the world and she screwed up and she ended up back at Forrest Gump's pad. And then she'd recharge maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe a year. But then she'd go back out in the world, and boy, it'd eat her up and chew her back up, and then she'd have to go. Sometimes that's what a child needs in his 20s, in his 30s, in his 40s. 20s, you get fired for the first time, whatever it might be. 30s, custody battle, divorce. 40s, laid off. There's all kinds of real life. Call it personal disasters. Call it what you like. That's where the Forrest Gump pad comes in handy, and that's where foster children, that's where these types of nonprofits that can bring somebody a shelter, bring somebody a house, because not everybody has that stability born into this world. So that's just my two. That's my soapbox. There we go. There's my soap. There's my oil barrel.
And you know, all of these issues are so interconnected that once you start thinking about it, even if there's only one of them that you're really called to help with, helping in that space is going to impact another one of those. So it could be somebody here donated a pair of socks and it goes to a foster family, or it goes to somebody that's one way that they feel cared for, so they're less vulnerable to the things that could happen to them later on in life.
One of the things I wanted to do too is kind of correlate the nonprofit and the energy industry. And you're president of a energy company, and also because of that, my understanding is that if and when elected, you will be the first person in the Texas Senate that actually has experience. Is that right?
Well, I don't know that I'm the first person. There's no current senator that has any real oil and gas experience. So that's correct.
Okay, thank you for correcting me on that, because I did want to point that out, because I found that not only interesting, but I didn't even think that was possible in Texas. Honestly, I didn't think that was possible.
It doesn't really make an awful lot of sense that you're there debating issues associated with energy and you don't have anybody that can talk intelligently about the business.
Or just even represent it.
Right.
In a very,
The only way it's a very complicated business, as a lot of industries are. And so unless you really know the nuts and bolts of how things truly affect the everyday workings of the industry, it's hard to really, I think, make intelligent decisions about how you govern that.
Well, that's when it comes to this ESG movement, I keep telling people the G is what's going to be the sticking point, because there's a lot of intellectual property here. And you say the wrong thing to the wrong person, it can affect stock prices. So when we start talking about that, transparency has a little bit of PTS, and for good cause.
Yes.
There's a history behind these types of things. It isn't that they don't want to, it's they got to be careful. And that's a different story for a different day. But one of the reasons I wanted to bring the two of you together, I guess, was to have a conversation between like a nonprofit and an operator. What are some things that can be done? Like, you're trying to actually reach him. That's your job. And you know, your job is to vet through the different nonprofits and all these different things. How can we move ahead together? Because I got to be honest, it's like, to me, it's like telemarketing. Anybody that I don't already know, it's almost like I got to get a 4 or 5 person vetting before I bring them on board. And that's sad, because we shouldn't be doing that in today's world. So let's talk, how can we kumbaya coal things together here a little bit? That's my kumbaya coal. You like that? Okay.
So Kevin and I are new friends. We just met today. So I will give you a quick just kind of background to the work that we do. So
right.
Truckers Against Trafficking, we provide industry specific training so that people through the course of their everyday jobs can recognize and report potential victims of human trafficking. So we started with trucking. So truck drivers through the course of their work had to recognize and report. We also work with the busing industry. And then now we are in the energy space, because we know that where there's larger groups of men working, there could be potential victims of human trafficking that are taken to those areas. So all of our resources are free of charge. They're high quality. They're videos. And then there's wallet cards that can be handed out. So it's so easy for a company, no matter if it's 5 people or 500, they can show a video and all of a sudden they've got their own community that is aware of an issue and has solid actions that they can take if they see it happening. So we try to give that an easy in so that companies, they can take that next step without it costing them money, and then it really doesn't cost them that much time either, because the video is 16 minutes long. So it's a great, easy way to kind of raise that awareness point.
Well, that's great. So as I hear that, And I'm thinking, how do we get that out to the larger energy industry? You know, there are organizations like the Permian Basin Petroleum Association that I think would be interested in learning about that so that they can get that information out to their members. I can tell you, by and large, the people that work in the energy industry are very family-oriented.
Yep.
And so I think understanding that, understanding the issue and having the opportunity to learn more about that issue and how they can take action within their own companies, I think would be very well received.
Definitely, and I love that your wheels are already turning, and we chatted a little bit offline that there are organizations in the area that, so we're a national organization, and I see quite often that we train companies on this issue, and then we have people that then they want to take action in their own community. So you know of some other, would you like to share a little bit of information about what you know about organizations in the Permian Basin that are also helping to combat this issue?
Yeah, so we have friends at Reflection Ministries, which is a local organization that is working to help victims of sex trafficking. And again, I think it's an excellent example of communities trying to take care of their own. And honestly, shedding light on a subject that really 5 years ago, was almost never discussed.
Very cool. And I love that you already know of people in the area that are doing that work. And that just reflects the fact that you're plugged into the community and you're connecting those dots. So I'm excited to see how your race for Texas Senate goes.
Well, thank you very much. I think in most of these issues, the more we can educate the churches, I think they would be a great resource. That's one of the things that the foster care system, the community-based foster care system, has really strived to make inroads in, is educating the church, the larger church community, because those people are very motivated to serve out of love.
I love that connection.
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you at least a little bit about an energy policy or what we can do for energy companies. I mean, when we're talking about the social side of things, that's great. We're here to do some social good. We're here to create some awareness. But really, at the end of the day, there are some regulations. And I actually wrote down something that I was going to say. Because, and I don't know how to say it, so I'm just going to say it to you here.
Sure.
Because I didn't practice it, and I was going to maybe say it up on stage later, but I'm not sure about that. And because really what's happening here is people's livelihoods are being threatened. And when you threaten a person's livelihood, you know, that's akin to, you know, some, you're doing some pain and inflicting some punishment on some people. And there's going to be a reaction to that. And that's really got me going, because we really need leadership that is in touch with values right now. That's what I think is kind of missing in a lot of what's happening. You know, I don't care if it's Greed Is Good from Gordon Gekko and however we got here. It just seems very difficult for the average person to do the right thing right now, because it just seems like we're out of touch with our values. And yep. It almost sounds like I'm crazy saying that.
Yeah, it's that's not crazy. Back in the early 1800s, there was a French sociologist that came to America because America was really prospering, and his name was Alexis de Tocqueville. And after touring America, he came to the conclusion that America is great because Americans are good. And again, what he was seeing was the impact that the Christian church was having all across America. But then he also followed up with a warning that said, if Americans cease to be good, America will cease to be great. And so I think that's a dire warning for our culture.
Hang on, once District 31 is Midland, Odessa, all the way up to the
all the way up to the top of the panhandle of Texas. Wow. Yep, 45 counties.
That is quite the reach.
It is a large reach, yeah, to kind of bring that into it.
That was the news anchor. We're doing some editing here for the news story that's going to be featuring the three of us, actually.
Actually, that's right.
Ashley Smith and Kevin Sparks here. So that's what that was. But continue on with what you were saying. I'm sorry about
that. Yeah, so
about the actual, you know, the kindness and the being good, how that's infectious, hopefully.
Right. That's what makes communities great. Right, is when people are willing to look past just their own needs and reach out and help those, around them. It's what I think we've done really well in West Texas and the Panhandle. We can always do a better job. But as we, as a country, as we begin to ignore a lot of those social issues, it opened the door for government to step in and try and take care of those needs. And I believe that government doesn't do any of those things well. It's not what government was designed to do. And that's why it's incumbent upon us in government to give that power back to the communities and give them the tools to do what they do best.
For me personally, I'd like to see my leaders who are in touch with values, that are familiar with accountability, and also understand what risk means. Because there are certain individuals out there that are really taking a lot of risk with their families' livelihoods, and there are certain people who don't ever have to take a risk.
Right.
And that's really sad, because there used to be a time in this country, if you built a better mousetrap, you'd be rewarded by it. But it doesn't seem like that's the way we're going. And hopefully we can turn things around to where people can feel good about doing good again.
Right.
And
well,
that's, like I said, I feel crazy saying that.
No, I still believe in the American people. And I do believe that we are still good folks. I've thought about a question for Ashley.
Yeah.
So on the governance side, what can we do from a government or regulation or law side to improve this issue of sex trafficking?
So I think the biggest thing that we're seeing is the more awareness there is, the more capability there are that, one, that victims can be recovered, but then also that families are kind of protecting their children from potentially being victims. So that training, we provide training to multiple industries. We also work with law enforcement to make sure that they're handling those cases, so taking a victim-centered approach. So I think just ensuring that there's funding on the back end to make sure that if law enforcement needs a training, if they need those resources to get better at their jobs, that's some stuff that happens on the back end. And I think just being aware of the issue, so that when different laws come up, and knowing that you have subject matter experts that you can call upon and say, hey, does this law really make the impact that we want it to? So it's so easy to just pass legislation and think, oh, we're good, we're done. But really, you have to kind of dig down and make sure that the laws that you're passing are not going to have unintended consequences. So I think you're doing that great first step, is that you know people that are in this space, you're aware of the issue, and you're also working on other issues that are connected to it. So understanding the connection to foster care, understanding the connection to homelessness, all of these things work together. So I think as you work on each of those issues, it helps all of it as a whole. So you're on a good start right there.
If I may interject, one of the things that I found interesting about what Ashley does with Truckers Against Trafficking is that she opened my eyes to where a lot of these victims are being preyed upon years ahead of time through the internet. So they start reaching out to kids in junior high and high school, getting them ready for when they're done and on their own. And that opened my eyes to where this is a serious issue, because if that's what's happening, I already know what's happening to adults. Right. If they're prepping kids, and my kid spends more time online than I care to admit, okay? And I'll be the first one to admit that. As a former guy that used to get on his bike at 7 o'clock in the morning and come home at 10 o'clock at night, you know, that type of thing. So it's a little bit different, but just so you're aware, even if it's, you know, with your network of people, what she's talking about is a real issue that's affecting our kids. And the truckers against the trafficking, that's almost like a reaction to what's already going on. It's what I found good about what she's doing is creating an issue about that core issue. That's why the foster care is so important. That's why the government getting into the schools, actually, if they're going to get into schools about this kind of crap than it is about, what was that thing that we were talking about the other day, evolution type thing, you know? Let's talk about what's going on now. Not what happened then. So sorry. Okay. Sorry.
And I
oil barrel again. Boy, you get me going, man.
That's what it's all about, right? That's what this discussion is supposed to be about.
And I'll share that we've trained 1.2 million people to date. So just think about those people are then taking those lessons back home to their children, family members, nieces, nephews, and they're having those conversations that beforehand, one, they wouldn't have had that language or understanding to have. So starting it at work, it may feel counterintuitive, but then they have that knowledge base of, oh, I heard this thing at work. Let's talk about online safety. Or I saw this, if you have a friend that's in this space, call, let me know. So you're giving parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles those tools to be able to talk to those children and teenagers in their life so that they have somebody that is willing to make that call. So that is always a call to action we give them, is like, it doesn't just stop at work that you're looking for it. You're taking it back home to those families and communities as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm taking a look at the time. I'm listening to the people, and I'm taking a look as some people are coming in. Thank you both for coming on here. Ashley, I appreciate you coming in, and stick around, and we got some stage things we got to do a little bit later. Mr. Kevin Sparks, District 31, Texas Senate. How can people donate? How can people be a part of your campaign? Is there a limit?
Well, I'm glad you asked. No, in Texas, there is no limit
God
for donations.
Bless Texas.
Yes. So, my website is kevinsparksfortexas.com, and so would appreciate anybody who's listening that was interested in kind of some of the things we talked about tonight to go to my website, take a look at some of the other things that are on our platform, and consider donating, signing up to volunteer.
And let's not forget, folks, is that Kevin Sparks is in the oil and gas industry. He's the president of the company again?
Discovery Operating, Inc.
And so he has experience, and as we found out in this interview, there isn't anybody currently with oil and gas experience. So if you want somebody representing Texas with oil and gas experience, Kevin Sparks is your guy. As far as I know, I don't know anybody else, so that's your guy. What's that website again?
KevinSparksForTexas.com. Thank you.
You see that little volleyball set up, spike down? All right. Hey, thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Ashley, thank you. And what's the website for your Truckers Against Trafficking?
TruckersAgainstTrafficking.org.
Flock, Sock, and Barrel at Frisky's here in Odessa, Texas. And we're going to get, looks like Ryan Jones has got the guitar ready, so we're going to get some music going here in just a second. All right. Let's do it.